What's up, guys? So today I just want to tell you the story about how I got started with e-commerce. So when I was in high school, actually, even before that, I learned how to use computers at a very young age. My dad was an engineer for a big medical corporation called Siemens Medical, and they do like tons of stuff all over the world, but he was focused on MRI and CAT scan machines, and he knew how to, you know, use computers really well. So he taught me how to do that from a very young age. From a very young age, I knew how to use computers already. And beyond that, what I started to do was I started to play a lot of video games. Pretty common, right? And so I knew how to use keyboards and stuff like that, computer games. In high school, I had a photography teacher, and the photography teacher taught the class how to list products on eBay. He made a project, and he had us sell all of his old photography equipment. The photography equipment was old camera equipment, and he was switching to DSLR, digital SLR cameras. It was a great project for us because we got to learn how to use light boxes and lighting and create really good product photos using digital photography equipment. And that was kind of when digital photography equipment was just kind of taking over film. And we basically moved all of his old film equipment, which he had like a photo lab and all this stuff. And we even had a class where we would use the old film and the black and white film and go and develop it. And that was a lot of fun. And I learned how to do all that, use the different chemicals and whatnot. Times changed and DSLR was the new thing. So we were all starting to use DSLR and Photoshop and stuff like that. So he taught us how to make listings on eBay, how to sell products on eBay, auction style with a buy it now option, that kind of stuff. I don't even know if buy it now was even an option back then. This was like back in 2003, 2004. And so, with that, I was able to sell his equipment and saw that this stuff was working. And then later on in college, I had a bunch of stuff left over from high school, and I started selling that on eBay just to make some extra money, just junk stuff that I had collected during high school. And then on Amazon, I found out I could sell my used textbooks really well because Amazon was really good at selling used textbooks. So I would, every year right after the semester was over, I would take my textbook and I would not get rid of it. I would put it into my house. And then right before the next semester, right after the semester started and everybody figured out what books they needed, they would try to sell them on the brand new books from the bookstore. But then they realized if they go online to Amazon, they can buy the last year's book, which is almost 99% the same, at a steep discount. And so I would sell all my books from the last year right after the prior year started and make some money that way. It wasn't a lot, but, it was something, and it's college, so that's cool. That got me going on eBay and Amazon. And then later in college, I started taking marketing courses and sales classes and things like that. And I met a guy at my job, which I worked at a lock and security hardware distribution company, a big warehouse where we sold business to business to locksmiths and security companies. And so I got to learn kind of the ins and outs of that industry, as well as the ins and outs of just like retail and wholesale in general and distribution and the supply chain and all that. I worked in the warehouse doing picking and packing orders to begin with, and then I did shipping, and then I did warehouse receiving as well as returns processing and organization and management for the first like few years I worked there. And then I transitioned into a sales position once I learned all the SKUs and all the different things about the product categories and whatnot, and I made connections with some of the customers as well. And so moving into that, I made a friend, and he was a locksmith. And a great guy. And we started talking about, how we can build a business where it's online only and you just have the distributor or manufacturer ship directly to your customer for you. Because some of the people who we were working with and I was selling to were actually already doing that. And they had some websites and they were doing pretty well. And it was just like e-commerce was really starting to take off. And so we saw all that happening and we thought, why not do it ourselves? But there was kind of a conflict of interest if I was working for the same company. So I couldn't do it in that niche, but we were looking at other niches. And I've been a skateboarder. I started when I was like 12, 13. So I first looked at the skateboarding niche. Unfortunately, the products are pretty low priced, so there wasn't a whole lot of profit per sale, and the shipping costs would usually eat up most of the margin. So it just didn't really work out that way. Plus, the suppliers were really only sold to core skate shops and big online stores that had warehouses. So I couldn't do drop shipping profitably with the skateboard industry, unfortunately. I went the private label route and tried to make my own brand, which was a lot of work and a lot of upfront investment, and it just didn't sell enough to make back my initial investment, which was only like $1,000 or something, but it just didn't sell well, and I didn't have enough more money to keep investing and keep growing it. So I let it go and I dropped it, and then I picked up a new niche, which was bicycles, but a specific type of bicycle called a like a fixed gear single speed bike. So that was the first niche we found that was actually worked, because we were able to identify that it was a trending niche, so it was high demand. And the other thing is that there were suppliers that were willing to drop ship for us. We did not need to have a physical bike shop in order for them to give us an account. So I think we found one supplier in Los Angeles on the East LA called McCargy, and I believe they still do drop shipping. So if you guys want to start a bike shop and online and get a supplier, you can look at McCargy Bicycles. And I've been selling them all the way up until just a couple years ago. Still, they now do electric bikes, which are really popular, and they're one of the most trendy things. I'll probably get back into that. I recently sold my e-bike store a couple years ago, so I still have a non-compete, but in a couple years I'll probably get back into the niche. The only problem with that niche is that there's a lot of warranty issues and a lot of shipping damage issues. A lot of people file complaints and chargebacks, and so it's a big cash flow nightmare. If you have the cash flow to support it and you have processes and a team to deal with that kind of stuff, go for it. But it can be kind of a nightmare if you're like a solo entrepreneur and you're trying to do it by yourself. There's also a lot of fraud in that industry as well, so keep that in mind. It's not the best niche to get into. I would not consider it the best. But profits are fairly high. Usually the suppliers, they don't charge extra for shipping, and margins are usually like 15, 20, maybe up to 30%. So margins are there, but and demand is usually there, but it's a tough niche to sell. There's better niches for sure. Anyway, so beyond that, I got into it, and we started. I started my first website, and I didn't use like any other. The website builder I used was called eCreator. I was going to use a eBay or Amazon or something, but they take a lot of fees. They take like 10-15% fees, and I wanted to avoid that. And there was an alternative at the time called eCreator, which I think is still available. eCreator is kind of cool. It's sort of similar to eBay, but they don't have auction style. It's just buy it now. And the main difference is with eCreator that they actually submit Google Shopping listings for your listings on their website, which is kind of nice. But they pay like 1 cent or something. Like, the bids are extremely low, so they show up at the bottom of the sponsored listings. The thing we did to stand out from the competition for traffic is we would put listings on Craigslist. Usually it was just targeting like generic keywords, like fixie bike or something like that, get fixies, blah, blah, blah. And then we'd have to like manually type in the name and like DOTCOM, cause Craigslist would take our listing down or something if we put the actual website. But that kind of thing worked, and we sold a bunch of fixies that way locally in LA. It was a lot of manual effort and stuff like that, but it worked. Eventually we were able to rank for SEO keywords for the specific brands we were trying to sell really well. But that came later. I transitioned into WordPress and WooCommerce the following year, because I found that it was free to start. WooCommerce, you do have to pay extra for certain things, like add-ons and whatnot that you need for the functionality, but it was free to start, which was the beauty of it. In WordPress, you just need to pay for hosting and a domain. So I forget who I used, maybe GoDaddy, probably GoDaddy back then, for hosting and the domain. But so the website was fairly easy to start. They had some free themes. I actually paid, for premium themes and things like that. I believe we used Stripe for the payment processor back then. And it went pretty well. First year was kind of slow. Second year started taking off a lot, and the third year really took off. So basically, we just really needed to get the traffic down. I wasn't really doing much with ads. I was mostly just trying for organic rankings, and what I was doing was driving backlinks to product pages, basically. I wasn't even really doing much blogging back then. It was just backlinks to product pages. And we were really just targeting the keyword traffic for the brands that we were selling and maybe their specific model names and SKU numbers, that kind of stuff. Because that's the traffic that you really want to rank for with e-commerce. At the end of the day, driving traffic to a blog post, like a top 10 blog post, is great. But it's generic traffic and it's top of the funnel traffic. You don't really know if that traffic's going to convert or not. So it's a lot better if you do it through something where it's going to be like a where it's something that's going to be like a product page, okay? Because then the traffic is searching for that product, they land on that product, they think your website's really good, and they're going to buy it. So that ended up working out really well. I had actually had a couple of really good suppliers. I transitioned into doing more expensive bicycles the following year. So the first site was fixiecity.com, which I don't think exists anymore. And I don't have the domain. I don't know if it exists. But so that website was very, very old school. You could look at like archive.org or whatever and check it out, but it was really bad. And we transitioned to doing roadbikecity.com, which I believe also does not exist anymore. I had sold that website later on 2015, and it was a pretty good website, though. It worked out really well. So we had a few good suppliers, some with higher margins, some with lower margins. And somewhere around 2013, I happened to run into these guys who did custom electric bicycles. And it was like right when e-bikes were sort of still new, not very well known. And I really just started doing research for that. And I found a brand that sold them. And we started selling a lot of those brand. And they had a lot of problems. They were like cheaper e-bikes or whatever, but really crappy ones, but they sold really well and had decent margins. So for all the ones we sold and the margins we made, it made up for the ones that, kind of got screwed up. I transitioned, I sold that website, took a year off, and then came back and made another website, but transitioned completely into e-bikes after that. Ended up dealing with all sorts of weird stuff. There was some fraud I dealt with and lost some money that way. And when you're dealing with fraud with high ticket, it sucks because you're going to lose thousands of dollars instead of just like 10 or 100, so it's a lot of money. So I started using Signified, which is a fraud detection tool. I used them for a while, but they're a bit expensive, so I switched to ClearSale later. Around 2015, when I sold the first store, I started E-commerce Paradise and actually started it as a book and a blog. I was part of the dropship lifestyle program around that same time. Like, I had just signed up for it. That's how I got back into doing it. But the new store that I started with e-bikes was actually through Shopify this time, and that's because of dropship lifestyle and Anton Crayley. So through his course, which is actually like it's a good course because it's very simple and straightforward, but it's lacking a lot of advanced stuff. So through his coaches, like all these other people that ended up coming up really well, I booked coaching calls with every single coach I could to kind of find the best one. And I found a couple that I liked. And, one of the best coaches, in my opinion, was Ernest Epps. And then another one was John Warren. So those are two of my favorite ones. There's a few others that were decent too, but those two gave me the best information, and I still know those guys today. They're really good. So, So Ernest was a super smart guy and taught me how to use Google Ads a bit better, and so did John Warren as well. And conversion rate optimization also was Ernest's kind of thing. And so I started learning how to do Google Ads a lot more, because with Shopify, it's really easy to set up the website and everything, but if you just set up the website and leave it, nothing really happens. It takes a while to rank organically these days, so Google Ads are the key, especially Google Shopping Ads. So started using Google Shopping Ads more, working with Shopify, and they have a lot of good integrations, so Shopify really lets you do it easily. 2016, also made the move to Thailand for the first time, where I was living before was Los Angeles. And Los Angeles is amazing because I'm a skateboarder and it's like the best place for skateboarding on earth. It really is. It's like heaven for skateboarders. And, I miss it so much, actually. I loved living out there. It was great. I recently went back and visited, hung out with all my friends again, skated around a lot. I really miss that city. And if I have a ton of money, I think I might live there again. But I really like where I am now. Now I'm in Bali, Indonesia. And it's a great place and I have a great home. So, moving on. So in 2016, I decided to move to Chiang Mai, Thailand. Chiang Mai is in the northern a part of Thailand, and it's very, very low cost of living and also very chill, and also has a big nomad, expat, and entrepreneur community, and tons of like co-working spaces and coffee shops, and it's a very relaxed vibe out there. So I would recommend that if you guys are thinking about becoming a nomad, taking your business on the go. And like, for like, the way I did it was I worked kind of like nights and evenings and took college courses and all that and just like worked my butt off for a few years, and then my business started to grow, and then I sold it, and then I started another one, and then that one started to grow, and as soon as that next one started to grow, I kind of knew that I could duplicate what I had learned the first time. So I decided, like, let's just make the change now. So I sold everything in Los Angeles, including like my car, my all the furniture, everything, and just put everything into a couple suitcases, and bought some one-way tickets to Chiang Mai, Thailand. Got a six-month multiple entry visa, tourist visa, which is extendable to 9, so we could stay there for almost an entire year before having to come back and get a new visa. So we went, and I got a little studio apartment for, you know, I think it was like $300 a month or something, in Long Beach, California, which is where I was staying at the time. I think it was $1,500 a month for a studio apartment. It was a great location, but, you know, obviously it's more expensive. So the e-commerce business could easily pay for $300 a month studio apartment, and then all the rest of the money could just use to travel around, which ended up doing a lot. Ended up traveling all around Southeast Asia and going to Europe that following summer as well. So I really like Chiang Mai. The problem with Chiang Mai for me was that there's not much to do with skateboarding out there. There's not much of a skate scene. There is a little bit now. They have a few more skate parks now. Things have changed. But back then, there wasn't. There was only one skate park, and it was kind of crappy. So that following spring, I decided to make the move to Bangkok. And Bangkok is a much bigger city, metropolis, and has a ton of street spots, skate parks, and all that skate scene. So have a lot more fun out there. And I actually still visit back all the time because I made a lot of friends out there skating. So Bangkok is really cool and one of my favorite places for skating. So, but it's a bit more expensive. My apartment ended up being, the first apartment I got was like just outside the city center. It was around $500 a month. And then I wanted to move like inside the city center. It ended up being about $1,000 a month, and which was really great. I mean, it was literally like there was a skate spot, like a perfect marble ledge right in front of my apartment, and then go up the street 5 minutes, I'm at a skate park. You know, tons of stuff nearby. It was great. So Bangkok is a cool city. And I know people that live there. And then, 2018, end of 2018, early 2019, you know, I, went through the kind of separation with my partner. We just weren't seeing eye to eye anymore on the business stuff and personal life and all that. So, she went back to the States and I decided to stay in Bangkok. And then, 2019, I met somebody new and, ended up, you know, staying in Bali. And so Bali, Indonesia is really cool because, you know, it's an island and really clean air quality, great skate scene, tons of surfing, great nightlife. It's got everything you need and it's super cheap as well. Cost of living is super cheap, or it can be anyway. So that's where I am now. Bali, this is my house in Bali, Indonesia, which is great. And since then, I had actually sold that electric bike store that I started. I started a mobility scooter store and sold that. And then I started another e-bike and mobility scooter store, and on top of that, a solar kit store. And I sold all of those as well. So here I am now, and the current store I have now is just like basically a home appliance store. It's a big, broad store, and it's not taking off like I had hoped it would, but the macroeconomic factors have been pretty rough in the last, you know, 6 months to a year. 2022, 2023 has been kind of a bit of a recession, but business is starting to pick up now, which is great. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully this store providing a great full-time income again. Luckily, the cash I got from selling the business has been able to provide me with a living up until about, you know, this time. And so now what I'm doing is I'm really pushing hard to sell more, you know, courses and services and info products and things like that alongside the dropshipping stuff because I need it to have an income. While the dropshipping stuff takes a while to take off. And the thing with the dropshipping is that there's a lot of cash flow intensive things as well. What you deal with is like, you know, credit cards having to get paid off, back orders coming in and not shipping out for months, chargebacks taking forever to get resolved. Sometimes, you know, things like they get returned and you end up getting a loss on certain orders. You know, and then like sometimes if you get too many chargebacks, the merchant processor will put a reserve on your account, like 15% for 90 days, that kind of thing. And I'm actually dealing with that right now, which kind of sucks. So there's a lot of things going on, and you just kind of have to deal with it. The key I found with high-ticket dropshipping to be sustainable is that, number one, you either have to have like a separate source of income or a separate business or kind of a supporting business, or your store needs to be like really big and doing a lot of sales. The other key is you cannot spend too much on growth, and you cannot spend too much on team expenses and things like that, and VAs in general, virtual assistants. So I outsource all the work to the Philippines, and in the Philippines, they can work for much less than the US, $3 to $4 an hour is on average. Whereas in the US, it's like $10 to $15 an hour, so it's totally unaffordable for online businesses that have low margins, like dropshipping. If I had an online business with high margins that did a lot of sales, then you know I'd probably be able to hire more expensive staff, but it is what it is. And service-based businesses are great, and when you're providing services, it's just a lot more time-intensive and work-intensive. And I do that as well, but it's not my favorite thing to do. I really like to just kind of relax. So having the dropshipping stuff is great, and having a VA handle it for me is my favorite thing to do. And I teach people how to do it, but the problem is you really got to have a lot of determination with it, and you got to really push through the tough times, because there are going to be tough times. There are always RB. It's a roller coaster ride day to day. You get sales some days, you don't other days. You're trying to figure out why, blah blah blah. It takes time. Just figure it out. Push through. Stay consistent. Anyway, so now things are great, and that's pretty much my entire story of start to finish, how I got started with e-commerce to where I am today. Hope this is helpful, guys, and if you want to learn more about how I do high-ticket dropshipping, you can check out my course at ecommerceparadise.com. I have a free niches list, masterclass, as well as a done-for-you service and private coaching available, and some other things as well, so check that out. And drop me a note or a comment here on YouTube, or definitely just send me an email, trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. Let me know if you need help with your store. I'm happy to help. Yeah, I've been doing this for a while. I help with things like conversion optimization, ad management, and scaling, and just overall consulting. Thanks a lot, and see you in the next episode. Take care. Mm-hmm.